Blog Talk Radio.
Birthdays today. We have Nathan Bedford Forrest, the guy. Oh, do I have the right one here? I may have made a mistake here. Sorry, folks. Well, anyway, among our political animals, did you know that the many of our presidents, not all of them, of course, attended one college, and we have three Canadian prime ministers, Pierre Trudeau, Robert Stanfill, and Mackenzie King, as well as one Mexican president. And guess where they attended? Harvard. We have other presidents who went to Yale. William Howard Taft, the fattest man, over 300 pounds in the White House. He even had a cow out there for him and built a special bathtub. And the campaign song was Get on the Raft with Taft. Gerald Ford, whose original name was King. Gerald Ford was adopted. He has a law degree from Yale Law School, served in the Navy in World War II. George H.W. Bush graduated in 1948. He's the father of George W. Bush. William Bill Clinton went to Yale Law School, and George W. Bush went to Yale in 1968. We had two presidents that went to William and Mary in Virginia. That's George Washington, who studied surveying, and Thomas Jefferson, and John Tyler, excuse me. And two presidents who went to Princeton in New Jersey, James Madison and Thomas Woodrow Wilson. Thomas was Woodrow Wilson's first name. He dropped it. And we had two presidents that went to West Point, Ulysses S. Simpson Grant and Dwight Eisenhower. There are other generals who had ideas about becoming president, McClellan, MacArthur, but they also graduated to West Point, but they didn't graduate to the White House. Oh, yes, here we go, the Mexican, and we had two Mexicans, Felipe Calderon and a guy named Singleaf, who went to Harvard. And then Zedillo, who resigned, I think, in 2000, went to Yale. So it's very interesting where our presidents have gone. And among the, I thought we had the deaths today, or I must have screwed up. One of the interesting things we're talking about is there was an uproar about the FBI what's his name, Louis Freeh's report on the Penn State scandal. And we are forgetting that in some parts of the country, there's a claim there's an international pedophile ring in parts of the world with major people involved, and we keep hearing about this. We know that there are countries in the world where these pedophiles go, and it's been going on for a long time. For instance, the great French composer Camille Saint-Saëns was a virtuoso. He started composing at an early age, was a piano virtuoso, wrote two operas, Samson and Delilah, appropriately, and five piano concertos, symphonies, piano works. He died in the arms of Moroccan boys. We had other general, I forgot his name, but a Scottish general who had a scandal in when he was in what was called Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka. He was caught with a boy on a train, and he had to resign, leave the British Army. He had fought in Afghanistan and had been a heroic soldier. Unfortunately, he went to Paris and blew his brains out. There was a famous song about Scottish song that was at one of the Edinburgh military tattoos about this famous general. Scottish general who joined when he was like 19. There are cases where Thailand in particular, where we had the Thomas White case, which is connected to San Francisco, and to people like Wayne Friday, who was a so-called investigator in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. He had no qualifications and was reputed male prostitute. Back east, who's from Michigan originally. And then there are other homosexuals who were involved in public office here in California. We had Tom Amiano, who was a school teacher who brought in the gay agenda into the San Francisco Unified School District. Most recently, he blocked, as a chair of a committee in the California State Legislature, he blocked the law which was going to tighten up prosecution on teachers and administrators accused of molesting children. It's quite interesting. You'll see on this website and others that he appeared in a pedophile magazine, and the picture says it all, and it's on this particular blog talk page, and it's also will be on the international web at Amicus Veritas YouTube. There are other cases where, in fact, it was so bad, it was a report on public broadcasting several years ago where the Roman Catholic Church in the Philippines was complaining about all these foreign pedophiles coming from Europe and the United States and Canada were going to the Philippines. We often think one of the big political and media fictions is that only young girls get molested. That's not true. There's a huge underground trade and snuff films with young boys and teenagers, and since the fall of the Russian Soviet Communist Empire, we're seeing a lot of this pornography on the web. It's videotapes. They target high school wrestlers, athletes, military personnel, and in particular, they seem to like Russian, Hungarian, and Czech young boys. Of course, there's always this prostitution. Now, pedophilia and the sadomasochism and the satanic rites goes back to the time of Joan of Arc, when one of the soldiers and military heroes that rode with her and fought the English was Gilles de Rais. He reportedly tortured, raped, murdered over 1,000 or maybe 1,000 young children, both boys and girls, and he was burned at the stake. Destroyed a lot of lives. But the question is, had Sandusky been in the San Francisco school district or working for a college here in San Francisco, would he have had immunity where pedophiles are openly employed in the public sector? And these are facts. In fact, federal government money in the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development's Community Development Block Grant Program funded, and I don't know if they still do, a group called CUAP, which was a bogus lesbian homosexual civil rights group, which actually put out a pamphlet teaching kids and got a contract of $1,000 a day to go into San Francisco Unified Schools and elsewhere to teach children about gay, lesbian, and transgendered sex, and to have suggest to children that they should be transgendered. These people were never checked out under the California predator laws to see if they had a criminal background. They had no teaching credentials. Not only that, in cases such as the Steve Neri case, the U.S. Navy sailor, they came into a San Francisco court wearing orange stickers, and we will put those up. It's time we did some of this, and openly lobbied the jury. And this guy, Kevin Vincent Ryan, a Canadian who lied about where he was born, claimed he lived all his life in San Francisco, but his marriage certificate, for what that's worth, said he was born in Alberta, Canada. We don't know how, when, or why he entered the United States. He placed ads in the Bay Reporter, a male prostitution, video voyeur, glory hole publication that features young males. He placed ads in that paper when he was running for Superior Court judge, and also allowed these people, such as Wayne Friday, to come into the courtroom and tamper with a case, a male rape case involving the U.S. Navy sailor Stephen Neri, who was defending himself against a sexual predator, Juan Pifre, an Argentinian pedophile, who was a political supporter of the prosecutor. So these things go on, and they will continue to go on, and also the fact that the Queen of Sweden had put together an international conference on child exploitation around the world. Two books were published. She sent me copies. If you go into the archives of the major papers, San Francisco Chronicle, Los Angeles Times, San Diego Union, Fresno Bee, you will not find any reference to this international conference, which was so important. This is how these pedophiles and these sexual predators, satanic rights people, cover up their misdeeds. And there are several publications out there. One of the issues is that people are talking about Murdoch's people hacking politicians and other public personalities. Well, Britain has their hacking scandal. In America, we have our video voyeur scandal. And in particular, young males are targeted, and it's all over the web. It's like something that came out of a public toilet sewer line. So these are things that people should be aware of. Now, one of the questions that's come up is that we're hearing more and more about corruption in public government and in the media more and more. One of the questions is, we have these people coming from the East, coming into California, and they're pushing agendas that if they tried this back from where they came, they wouldn't get away with it. So they come out here and prey on people politically. They have no qualifications, no experience, little or no ability, and they've got an agenda. One of the agendas is this bicycle business. Here, I call it the latte leisure class. What's happened is these people like Leah Shum, who came from Florida through Duke University, is the head of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. We've already had three deaths here in San Francisco with homicides involving bicyclists. I was hit by a bicyclist who tried to run away. There was a case recently in Marin County where a woman was run down by a bicyclist. The bicyclist gave her false information. We need to start requiring yearly licensing of bicycles, liability insurance, safety devices such as a horn or a ringer that we used to have on our tricycles, and lights, a front and back light, and require and enforce the rules of the road. If you put your wheels, whether they're 2, 4, 6, 8, or 12, on the road, you should obey the rules of the road, and if you don't, you should be severely ticketed. Also, we see bicyclists who are, like motorists, are texting, using the cell phone, not paying attention, blowing through stop signs, just as bad. And also, we have motorists who are running down bicyclists. So we have what appears to be an epidemic of reckless driving and bicycling. and it's time to put a stop to it because it's the American taxpayer who pays for police to respond to the scene of the accident, the homicide, ambulances, hospitals. Who do you think pays for this? Not the people who cause these accidents. It's the American taxpayer who's having enough trouble trying to keep whatever health insurance they may have for themselves or their families. But you're, in effect, you're subsidizing this reckless lifestyle, this what I call latte leisure class. You can see where these people park their bicycles and just sit around, and it's a leisure class. And these bicycles are not cheap. They can go up to $5,000, some of these bicycles. You don't have to be Lance Armstrong, which incidentally, I understand that he was one of the people promoting the anti-smoking campaign, or to tax to add another dollar to the tax on cigarettes. Yet he is accused and by both the International Doping Association that is involved with bicyclists and athletes, as well as his fellow athletes, of taking drugs that enhance his ability to win races. He, of course, vehemently denies it, but we've heard that before. Anyway, we still have the Barry Bonds case. Of course, a way to tell, this is kind of cynical, a way to tell is to monitor, go back and listen to clips of these people's, these individuals' voices. One of the things that, one of the physical characteristics that can identify people who have been taking these drug enhancements is not only external physical developing breasts, that sort of thing, but there may be voice changes. So that's something we can think about. And if you're concerned about these people who have a very prominent public image, push products, say they're for children and all of that, some of them have been accused of taking these enhancement drugs. And, of course, they make a lot of money as athletes. And they're not role models for children or anybody else. But it's time to start taxing these bicyclists and holding them accountable for following the rules of the road. And it's an untapped source of revenue. All these cities and states are bitching about they want to now add a tax to sales on the internet. Well, let them tax bicycles for starters. There may be a million bicycles in this city. We're going to, not in this city, in this country. And some of the states do require licensing. So it's time that we hold these people accountable. No more of this special rights, privileges, and exemption for a leisure class. We are going to be back Wednesday, and we're hoping to have some of our updated interviews. We had a technical problem today, and just for the heck of it, since we didn't do a show on Bastille Day, I thought I'd play the original Le Marcier. We have a copy here, and let me see if I can find it. It was done by the late, great Pierre Montu. He did the arrangement, or he found the original copy. And, shame on me. I can't seem to find it in our things here, but I thought it's interesting because you usually don't hear it. It is, as he said, it's the way it's supposed to be played, and it's the original copy, and I always like to play something out of our archives, and especially Le Marcier is so popular. It's like Beethoven's Fifth used during, as a signal to other underground people who were fighting the Nazis in World War II. But for some reason, I can't seem to find it on our archives here, and I'm sorry. I'll play it later when I can find it. I thought I had it, and we will be back Wednesday at 4:00, and hopefully we will have more interviews. Another interview. I'm trying to pin these people down, and we've got a lot of stuff in our archives, and we're transferring stuff. So. And also, we'll have the rest of that interview with that young Russian sailor And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas, and we will update with some new videos. Got a lot of that going on. So here we'll end with our usual politics and poker. And, of course, I don't think Romney plays poker. We don't know if Mr. O does. But, incidentally, one name has come up, Senator from South Dakota, John Thune. But we, the only presidential candidate was nominated by his party was George McGovern, a very decent man, served in World War II. I voted for him. Didn't win, of course. And, of course, it was one of the biggest defeats of any Democratic candidate, I think. McGovern didn't even carry South Dakota, if I'm not mistaken. He carried Massachusetts and California, I think. But anyway, excuse me, I still got this cold. So we'll end with politics and poker, and we'll see if it's Thune. I don't think it'll be Pawlenty because people can't spell his name. Minnesota has got a lot of problems, and the Hormel scandal there, which is connected here to San Francisco, to Stephen Neri, U.S. Navy sailor. Hormel secretly purchased the trial, the pretrial judge's house, which he couldn't sell, Anne Boleyn. She may yet lose her head. He secretly bought it and didn't report it on his ethics, political and financial statement that he, when he was applying to be ambassador to Luxembourg. And Boleyn didn't record it. You're supposed to record a transfer within 30 days, according to California real estate law. And her lover, Bradstreet, British lesbian activist who was pushing the pedophile agenda, she was her partner. And they split up afterwards, and Bradstreet took up with another woman in Marin County who later died of cancer. But Hormel, I understand, may be a sick man, and we'll see. He's been involved in a lot of controversies, such as the San Francisco Library section, where he supposedly donated $250,000, which he didn't donate. He bought construction bonds. And it's in his financial statement. It's another one of these political fictions the media lies. But anyway, I'm going to end with politics and poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Fine, fine.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, bet
up. Well, politics and poker, we'll be back Wednesday at 4 o'clock. This is Peter Paul Bozzola, and go to our YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. Good night.